Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports with the Legend, along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, William Ramo. Hey, what's up, Macaulay? How you doing?
Good. How's it going?
I'm doing all right, man. You know, it's a busy day and a busy week in sports. You know, the Rangers trying to win game three. The Yankees are currently playing, and, you know, the Mets are currently playing against the Giants. Best team in baseball. And, you know, we're going to talk about all those stuff, some NBA news, you know, about Game 2 coming up tonight. And, of course, you know, we're going to talk about sports entertainment as usual. So with that, let's tip off with a little Ranger hockey.
Yep.
And, man... The Rangers, man, they could have been 2-0 in this series.
Oh, you know, yeah.
They could have held on to some leads. I mean, the first game, you know, they had a 2-0 lead, and of course, LA Kings tied it and went into overtime, and the Rangers lost, unfortunately, to Dan Girardi turnover, which, you know, led to a goal for the Kings. And then yesterday they blew multiple leads, 2-0 lead, 3-1, 4-2, and unfortunately in double overtime, Rangers fell to the Kings yet again. And
now that was a tough loss last night.
Yep. Now they're hoping now that they're at MSG, you know, their fortunes will change. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, there's still hope. I mean, they did come back from 3-1 against the Penguins in that second round. So, I mean, the world is not over yet. You know, they still have some hope here. You know, it's not over until the Fat Lady sings.
Yep. And what was, you know, a little salt on the wounds was yesterday, Gabrick, you know, scored a goal against his former team.
Yeah. Kings, the Kings are a great team. I mean, they have a lot of offensive power, and, you know, it's tough. No lead is safe with them, you know?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. You know, they got Williams, they got Gabrick. I mean, the offense is just potent, man.
Yeah.
Even the best goalie in the league, Henrik Lundqvist, can't even, you know, couldn't stop them, in this series.
Yeah, it's they were Stanley Cup champions 2 years ago. They're proving why.
Exactly. So hopefully for the Rangers' sake, they gotta win Game 3, or else, you know, they'll be what the third team in history to try to. They're gonna try to be what the fourth team in history to try to, you know, come back from a, you know, trailing 0-3. But it's never happened in the Stanley Cup Finals. So.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that does happen. Let's hope they win some win these home games and can get back into this thing.
Exactly. Right now, this is not what you know, the head coach Alain Vigneault had in mind in his his first year as a manager with the Rangers after spending many years with the Vancouver Canucks. So,
well, I mean, the Rangers have had a good year. I mean, if you would have told fans that they would have gone, coming into the season, they would go to the Stanley Cup Finals, they would take it.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, now they're in the Stanley Cup Finals. I mean, they have to win it.
Exactly. They got to try. It's Kings, man. They're not easy at all. Not by a long shot.
Well, If it would have been the Blackhawks, it would have been just as bad. I mean, because both the Blackhawks and the Kings are two tough teams.
Oh yeah, I mean that's why they're in the Western Conference, you know, championships.
Yeah.
You can't go that far in the playoffs and suck, basically.
Yeah, and then both teams were the two defending champs for the past 2 years. So.
Yep.
Either team would have been a problem for the Rangers, and Kings are showing why. You know. Many people are picking them to win the Stanley Cup again.
Oh yeah. So yeah, they basically got to score more goals and be a little tight on defense, and you know they should hopefully win Game 3. But man, you also got to give Quick, you know, the goalie for the Kings some credit too, man. He's been stepping up as well. I mean, this guy, you know, he grew up a Ranger fan. And he's trying to silence his former favorite team.
Yeah, but, you know, then again, the Rangers have scored goals against him.
Yeah, that's true.
So, Rangers have had their opportunities.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll see what happens in the Garden.
Yep. At the world's most famous arena.
Yep.
What's going on in the Met game? Because last time I checked the Met game, Mets was losing 4-2 to the Giants. Tim Lincecum is, you know, opposing Zach Wheeler. And from last time I've checked, Granderson hit his seventh home run of the season, which was a two-run home run. So is the Mets still losing 4-2?
Let me check. I have no idea. Let me see. What channel is it on? Is it on SNY or is it on?
SNY. I'm out, so I can't see the game.
Looks like Mets are losing 5-3.
Oh, now it's 5-3.
Inning. Yeah.
Each team added extra run.
Yeah.
Hopefully Mets can bounce back because Mets are trying to avoid a 6-game losing streak after getting swept by the Cubs in Wrigley Field and losing the first two games down in San Francisco against the best team in baseball, the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah. Looks like Giants are playing really good right now.
Oh, yeah.
Although I still think the Dodgers are the better team in that division, but we'll see what happens as the season goes along.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. And, Mejia, he suffered his first major league blown save yesterday, unfortunately. Angel Bogaan, he had a big game yesterday, and he knocked in two runs, and he also scored the game-tying run in the ninth. And, of course, Michael Morse hit a single, the game-winning single, which would have been a double, if it wasn't, the walk-off hit.
Right.
So, the Giants, they're having a big season thanks to, the signings they had this year. They had the Michael Morse signing, which he hit, 13 home runs this year?
Mm-hmm.
And plus, what's his name, Tim Hudson. They signed him to a 2-year deal after he spent 9 seasons with the Braves. So those additions have proved worthwhile for the Giants. And unfortunately for them, Tim Hudson didn't pitch that well yesterday, but he got the no decision.
Yeah, but, maybe the Giants win it again after winning it, 2 years ago?
Yeah, exactly. This would be, their third championship in, 6 years, maybe?
What? Third?
Yeah, their third championship in, because they won,
really?
In, what was it, 2010? They won in 2012?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, they've been, yeah.
Wait, when did they win the first one again? That was in...
It was 2010, if I'm not mistaken. I think that was 2010 and 2012.
Hmm.
Yeah, exactly. It was exactly that. It was 2010, then Cardinals in 2011, then again Giants won in 2012, and then 13 was the Red Sox, which you're familiar with.
Right.
And now we're going to see who's going to win the World Series this year. But that,
yeah, that...
we'll find out in October.
Yeah, so that, yeah, you're right. So that would be their third championship in four years.
Oh, in 4 years, right.
Yeah, since it was 2010, yeah.
Right, yeah, exactly right. Yeah, exactly right, yeah. So with that, switching gears, the Yankees, did they play earlier today or they're playing later tonight?
They played already. Game had just ended. Yankees lost 4-2. Not much run scoring. This team has been suffering from that lately. Not much runs being produced. Today they finished. They went 1-for-17 with men on base. That just tells you how poor the Yankee offense is right now. And they're averaging just 2.5 runs during their last 10 games. So,
yeah,
They definitely need some more offensive power in the lineup because right now it's not – the guys that they have in the lineup are not producing right now, The pitching has not been that bad. I mean, Kuroda was great today. He only allowed one run, actually two runs. Yankees ended up losing 2-1 today. Yesterday they lost 8-4. Yesterday was a bad outing by David Phelps. And on Friday they won – 4-2, but yeah, I mean Yankees. Hopefully Beltran coming back will help the Yankee offense a little bit, but we need to get some more offense in the lineup here.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And Tanaka, man, he's the Yankee MVP this year. No doubt about it.
Oh, yeah. Without him, we'd probably be in last place right now.
I totally agree with that wholeheartedly.
He's a one-man gang right now.
Yep. For sure.
Like, every fifth day, you could rely on him. You know that he's going to win. Kind of reminds me of, you know, like
also,
the old Red Sox, the old school Red Sox with Pedro back in the late 90s.
Yeah, late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Or the old school Yankee days with Andy Pettit, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Every time you guys lose, you can always kind of Andy Pettit to get that win.
Exactly, yep. And Matsuzaka, he's going to definitely get a win Cy Young. I mean, I don't know who's going to win.
No, not Matsuzaka, you mean Tanaka.
Tanaka, right, Tanaka, right. They're all the same anyway.
Well, I love Matsuzaka to win, but he's like bouncing in the bullpen. And.
Hasn't this Matsuzaka for the Mets been pitching good?
Oh, yeah, he's pitched mostly in relief, but sometimes he's a spot starter. So,
oh, okay.
He's pitched well, but, you know, he's definitely not going to win the Cy Young Award.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Tim Hudson, he might win it. I mean, he's...
Oh, yeah, that's another guy.
6-1. Trying to think who else is pitching well in, you know, in the big leagues. Isn't someone 10-1? I don't know who it is. In the American League?
It might be one of the Detroit pitchers, maybe.
Probably. And of course, you know,
or the Oakland A's pitchers. I know Oakland has been having a good season too with their pitchers.
Right. They're having a phenomenal year.
Oh yeah.
You guys recently faced them before the Royals season.
Yeah, they look like a all around team.
Oh yeah.
They're a very good team, dangerous team right now. Although I think Blue Jays are also dangerous.
Oh yeah, Blue Jays too. Right. That's another team.
They got your boy Reyes on there.
Oh yeah. R.A. Dickey.
R.E. Dickey, yeah.
Yep. It's the Toronto myth over there.
Yeah, basically.
Except they're winning a lot more games.
Yeah, they're doing really good this year.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of teams that are doing well this year, NBA Finals, Game 1, Spurs, you know, they won. You know, they won the Game 1. Thanks, you know, proving that they could beat the Heat.
Yep, literally.
Literally. Figuratively and literally speaking, because the Spurs, they had, you know, in their stadium, AT&T Center, they had a air conditioning malfunction. So basically, you know, both teams were playing in the Heat, you know, inside the stadium. It was like, you know, 90 degrees, but it felt like, it was even worse inside that stadium, and miraculously, the old aging veteran Spurs team were able to perform in that weather. Yet, the young superstar LeBron James had, you know, cramps due to the heat, and he got pulled out of the the game one. He didn't even finish, you know, the rest of the game in an anti Willis Reed performance, you know. But,
yeah, that was weird. I mean, the air conditioner's broken. The Heat players had ice packs on their backs and necks. LeBron had a cramp. Something smells fishy.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, if you would have thought there was a Heat problem, you would have thought the Heat could have beat the Heat. I mean, they're young.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got superstar players and. The Spurs, they're on their last leg. I mean, they're a phenomenal team, but, you know, this could be their last NBA Finals appearance, you know, during the Tim Duncan era.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know. So something definitely sounds fishy.
But, you know,
they probably did it on purpose.
You never know. You never know. That was weird.
Something like that happened in the between the Celtics and the Lakers back in the 80s. In the NBA Finals when the AC in the Boston Garden broke. And, like, both teams played in extreme conditions. I think Boston ended up winning that game, too. So.
You think they had the teams condition themselves, you know, be like, hey, you know.
Yeah.
Drink some
it's
Gatorade.
Possible. It's possible.
And you never know. Teams would do anything for a win.
Yeah, exactly.
they'll freeze their stadiums or whatever. I mean, they'll do anything to get an edge.
Yeah, so it's not out of the question.
Oh, yeah. You're definitely right about that. And in Nick news, you know, after, you know, Steve Kerr, you know, basically, left the Knicks. I mean, he basically turned down the Knicks offer, you know, to coach the Knicks team. Now Phil Jackson is turning his attention to another former player with championship pedigree. Of course, I'm talking about Derek Fisher, who recently played with the Thunder, and he's contemplating whether or not if he's going to retire, you know, from the game of basketball and accept this position.
I heard that Phil Jackson was fined for talking to Derek Fisher.
Oh, yeah.
Because he violated NBA rules that you're not supposed to have negotiations or communicate with a player in becoming a, you know, joining your staff if they're still part of a team.
Right.
So Phil Jackson got fined for that.
Yep. But he doesn't seem that he's fazed by it, because he went on Twitter and was basically saying that he's undaunted. You know, paraphrasing what he said, you know, he didn't do whatever he can to improve the team, basically, is what he said, you know, paraphrasing what he said. And, you know, that he needs to hit a home run with this pick for the next head coach of the Knicks.
Right now, I don't know what the hell Phil Jackson is thinking or trying to do.
Well, the rumors is that, you know, he's trying to get a guy who he's familiar with, you know, a guy who he coached, you know, a guy who he knows would know the triangle offense. So that would most likely exclude Mark Jackson or Patrick Ewing from coaching the team. So, you know, we'll see who he picks, and hopefully that guy will be hoisting at least one, you know, Larry Bryan trophy at MSG. So
we'll see.
We'll see about that. And, did you see yesterday's boxing match? Miguel Cotto, congratulations to him. He defeated Sergio Martinez to become the new, middleweight champion. So, you know, congratulations to him. And he fought at MSG.
Congrats.
So, congratulations to him. And, shifting gears to another champion, you know, Daniel Bryan. You know, he's the current WWE World Heavyweight Champion, but due to a serious neck injury, which he recently had neck surgery on it. He's trying to come back, and the rumors is that WWE is trying to pressure him into trying to come back and wrestle even with this serious injury. So
what the hell? If WWE is pressuring him?
Yeah. And if he doesn't come back, you know, they might have a very interesting scenario, which would arguably, be the best Money in the Bank match, because it would be for the, instead of winning number one contendership, it would be for the titles, the title itself.
Well, if this is a serious neck injury, maybe he should take some time off. I mean.
Yeah. As much as I love to see him as a champion, but if he's seriously hurt, you know, he got to unfortunately give it up. And that would definitely make the Money in the Bank match more intriguing.
Yeah, it would.
It would be like the Ric Flair winning the Royal Rumble for the championship.
Oh, yeah.
So that would easily make it the best Money in the Bank ever.
That'd be interesting.
But yeah, another thing that would be interesting is the competitors. Is it going to be guys who never competed? I mean, who never won the title? Will it be guys who won it? Because remember last year they had two. They had one with the SmackDown one was guys who never won it, and guys who are former champions. So I'm guessing it had to be a combination of the two.
They should do that, yeah. Put guys who've never had the title.
Yeah, but with this, I think they're gonna have it's gonna be a combination. You know, like how it usually is. You know, they're gonna have most likely Cesaro, who I think is gonna win, Cena, Wade Barrett. I'm just thinking off the top of my head, people who would potentially compete for it. Would they put Rusev? I mean, maybe he hasn't fought that much from the B in it. Trying to think. Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, now that I think about it, Rusev is rumored to be fighting against Mark Henry at the event. So that might
disqualify him.
What are you saying? Yeah.
Disqualify him for the match.
Most likely. I mean, sometimes people fight two matches, but most likely that would, like you said, that would most likely disqualify him. But, yeah, and there's rumors that, you know, he might form a revamp of the Nation of Domination, have Mark Henry, R-Truth, trying to think who else, Xavier Woods, you know, basically all the guys that, you know, what's his name, beat up.
Basically WWE's version of the Nation of Islam.
Yeah, that's exactly what Nation of Domination was, you know, back in the days. A copycat of that, you know, that group. So basically, but this time, unlike the original version, if this rumor is true, then the Nation of Domination would be good guys who would be fighting for America instead of, you know, fighting against, being discriminated by WWE, which is what they were arguing about back in the days.
They should do that again. Shit.
I think they might do that. I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm trying to remember what else happened. I'm trying to think. Oh yeah, the pay per view was last week. The Payback. I'm trying to remember what happened.
It was last week.
All right, and we didn't even mention the most important thing that happened. Evolution got defeated by the Shield.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the biggest news is what happened the night after Monday Night Raw. Seth Rollins became a traitor, and he turned his back on the Shield and attacked both Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose with a chair.
Who would have ever thought?
Yeah, for real. I mean, I know a few months ago he did walk out on them, but they, you know, the team reconciled. But, yeah, this was the most shocking moment in WWE, recent WWE history since Mark Henry retired.
Yeah.
I mean, his fake retirement thing.
Yeah, I mean, I would expect a Dean Ambrose, but never Seth Rollins.
Yeah, exactly. For sure. So it's going to be interesting if he finally explains why he did it, because on SmackDown, he said the only person that needs to know and the only person who knows why he did it is him.
Yeah.
So, should be interesting. And I'm trying to remember what else happened.
That was pretty much the biggest match of the evening, really.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, John Cena defeated Bray Wyatt again.
Yeah, of course.
And they're winning 2 out of 3 from their matches at the pay-per-view. And, yeah, I think that's about it. You got anything you'd like to say?
Just check my show at Mac on Saturdays at 11, and come back and check out Sports Urban Legend Sundays here on Block Talk Radio at 6.
Thanks a lot, Mac. You're the guy. Check out, you know, the show next week. And until then, I'll see you guys next week. Peace.